Hi,
hey,
I'm Robert.
America couldn't take the gay relationship.
I'm Robert.
Oh, we started.
Oh. Hi, I'm Lewis. I'm the L Train. Hey, new phrase. Everybody wants to ride.
You
the
can't
L-
give yourself a nickname. You can't be that person.
He's already got Lewd and Louie.
No, I'm good.
When did we call him Lewd?
I call him Lewd.
Since when?
That's his rapper name.
It was Taylor. He started calling me the L Train.
Okay.
Taylor doesn't count.
I don't care.
I'm gonna allow it.
Everyone else introduced themselves.
Jaren.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
Okay, this is what we really thought of The Hunger Games and that movie that we just saw, Mirror. That happens every single time.
You forget
what happens? You forget what movie we watched?
I forget one of the movies every single time.
We'll watch like three or four in a row and then we'll forget.
And we'll talk whatever, if Louis keeps talking about the L Train, we'll try and...
But we just got stopped to
discuss that. Yeah, so we got some time. So, you want to talk about something before the Hunger Games?
I was just going to throw out that...
So, there's not a train. Oh, there's a train.
It stopped about 20 feet short of the intersection.
Yeah, there's a dude coming out of the train, so it's probably not going to hit us.
Oh,
my God!
I'm sure they appreciate that, Jeff. The listeners and the train workers.
I know, I do.
Okay.
You love Jeff's dulcet tones. All right, so...
People see, Jeff.
So, I'm going to try and take a back seat and let Jeff and Louie take the heat of this main discussion here about the Hunger Games.
Well, just to reiterate,
we'll chirp in when we can, but first, Jeff,
you guys give your first impressions, and then when we get to the other part, we'll chime in with our sense.
But first, we have to establish again, have any of the people in this car read the book?
I have not read the book, and I have not seen the movie before several hours ago.
I read all three of the books, and I've already seen the movie before, so this is my second time.
Bam.
Alright. So,
do we
want to hear from the newbie or the veteran book reader fan guy?
We'll go with Jeff.
Alright.
Oh, thanks for being...
Go, Jeff. You're up.
The majority of people, I think, haven't read the books.
Like it?
So get it from the perspective.
Like it? Hate it? Would you recommend people see it? Why?
I would recommend people seeing it. I very much enjoyed it, but it also made me really want to read the book now, because I could tell that there was a lot more behind the story than what a movie could bring. But according to Louis, it followed the book very well, which I'm happy to hear. That's really all I got.
Lewis, you've read the three books, as you just said. Tell us your thoughts.
Loved it. Watching the movie, it followed the story very well. Basically, they fit in what they should. Like, some of the stuff wasn't fully explained, but it was kind of... I'm not sure as a first-time viewer going in, if you haven't read the books, there might be some stuff you kind of miss, but if you read the books, I'm sure that you get more enjoyment out of it because you know more of the background, understand it a little better.
It was clearly marketed towards the...
Well, one of the...
people who read it.
One of the script writers was actually the author of the book, which I'm sure definitely helped push it towards being so true to the books.
So, was there anything they changed or added that you felt put off by? Or any improvements
liked? They changed some stuff, but that was just to streamline things, like how she gets the Mockingjay pin. Like, the original story, like, it didn't matter that they changed that at all. It just... excuse me.
That's how she got it.
No, one of her friends, or one of her classmates gave her the pin as a gift. That's how she got it. She got it in a different way in the movie, which just, it doesn't even really matter.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that because it's such a big visual link to the books and to the movie.
It's the poster, is that thing.
I think they were trying to make the point that the fact that her sister gave it back to her was more important than necessarily how she got it.
The Mockingjay pin, if I remember correctly, it's been several months, but it's a representation of the rebellion.
Uh-huh. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, there's already a rebellion?
No, in the past, there was a rebellion, which is why they have the Hunger Games.
Yes.
But the capital they created these birds, the mockingjays, and they can perfectly mimic voices, and they would overhear conversations, and then they would take them back. But then the rebels figured this out, so they would give false messages, and they somehow, it became the rebel symbol, the mockingjay. That became their thing.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, I mean, I could be wrong. That's what
that
I remember.
That makes sense. Well, it was kind of hinted in the middle of the Hunger Games battle thing.
Yeah, with the notes.
Yeah.
Can you tell me why they're called the Hunger Games? It just sort of says, henceforth they will be known as the Hunger Games.
I really didn't get it.
Because
they
get really
why.
Hungry while playing this game?
Because it sounds... Because it sounds...
It's a catchy phrase.
Sounds catchier than kids, kids, kill, kill.
Uh-huh.
Basically.
Yeah, because that was the alternative to Hunger Games. They were in a room deciding between Hunger Games and kids, kids, kill, kill. And they flipped a coin in a...
For great days. Honor.
I'm shaking my head in case, you know, everyone...
I think they can hear the shaking of your head.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah, any improvements that you really... liked?
I can't really think of any improvement.
Or changes, I guess. Changes that you liked.
I really can't think of anything. It just stayed. It stayed so true to the story that, like, it's just minor things that they change.
Well, I know they, I read an interview with Donald Sutherland, who played President Donald Sutherland. I mean, that was really convenient for him that the character shared the same name. I mean, who else are you going to cast as President Donald Sutherland?
Other than Donald Sutherland.
Wait, are you being serious?
No, he's President White.
Was it White, or was it like Snow White or something?
It's President White.
Well, that's not racist.
Well,
President White.
I think it's one of those throwaways.
Was it also Designer Black?
Like, once. Well, I know with Haymitch, they never even said his last name during the movie, but in the credits, they put his last name. That just kind of entertained me.
Yeah, and we never got the name of the Elizabeth Banks purple character.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know what it is from the press, but they never mention it in the movie.
Well, it's kind of hard to sneak that in there into a movie without it pretty much being, oh, you just needed to say that to get your name out there.
But yeah, I do remember...
Oh, it's good to see you, so-and-so, last name so-and-so.
He had an interview with Don Sutherland, was talking about how that wasn't in the book, all of his scenes with the game changer or whatever, and was talking about how they add that into foreshadow stuff and how, oh, he thought it was fun.
Feeling where it's like, okay, you're in this movie just to set up the second one, and I could feel it already.
And he talked about it in a really interesting way, stuff like, oh, you know, I really like this guy, and I'm basically grooming him to be the president, but I'm going to let him do what he wants. And also, as soon as I see that Katniss chick, I know she's going to be trouble, mm-hmm. and I look forward to that. You know, it's like, cool adversary thing, like, all right, you want to screw things up? All right.
Go ahead and try.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
Basically, that was his take. So I did get from that those scenes were new.
I see.
Don't know. President Snow, says the Wikipedia thing.
That's his name?
Yeah.
I thought it was
there
White.
White Snow.
Snow White.
Snow.
Are you just confused with the other movie that we saw?
Well, it's very close. President Snow, President White. They both are the same color.
Wait, I got it wrong. I totally got it wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was thinking about white stuff, so I guess, you know.
Yeah, you were.
Well,
you
know
we did just have ice cream.
You know how that
But my ice cream was green.
I don't know where you were eating that, man.
That's the same place as you. It was mint flavored. It was delicious.
Oh, it was mint flavored. Right.
That's not a favor.
So,
I've never heard of this mint.
Okay, let's stop talking about ice cream
mirror,
and
mirror.
Start talking.
Wait, but Jeff wanted to hear what we thought about it.
Yeah.
So, Jaren, you've... the first time around, Jaren didn't like the Hunger Games much, so I'm wondering how it held up for him the second time around.
Are you?
Yes. That's why I said that.
I still don't like it. It was more tolerable than it was the first time, but I still didn't like it.
Well, why didn't you like it the first time?
Again, a big part of the reason I didn't like it was the shaky cam. It didn't bug me near as much in the games this time, but the beginning gave me a headache again. I just I didn't like the whole quick darting camera with all the shakiness and stuff.
It kind of bugged me at first, but then I kind of found like an artistic reason behind it, or at least this is what I'm assuming, is that like if you know it's the camera shaking and everything to kind of mimic what the person would be experiencing at the time, so you have that same disorientation and not really knowing what's going on in your surroundings.
Well, they stated one of the main reasons was, again, to put into the perspective and the intensity, which is what Spielberg said with Private Ryan, which is why he used that and why it became popular, because he did it. And also so they could hide all the brutal violence and keep it PG-13.
Exactly. And I understood exactly. It's not that I don't get why they were using it.
It was definitely
the fact that it gave me a headache because they were doing it so much, especially at the beginning.
I'm curious, so have you gotten headaches from other shaky cam stuff, or was it just particularly bad here?
It was particularly bad here. I don't know why. And again, I think the last time was, one, I sort of had an upset stomach to begin with, and then two, it was an IMAX.
We saw the IMAX.
Time, so I couldn't get away from it. You know, this time I had the chance to actually kind of look away, you know? But yeah, I don't know. The Hunger Games just might not be for me because, again, it was a little bit more tolerable this time, but, like, I still wasn't, like, enthralled by it.
Are you interested in seeing 2, anyone?
I'll definitely see 2. I'm actually interested. I finally talked to a friend of mine who had read the books, and I got some of the bits and pieces that I didn't get from the movie fed to me.
Yeah.
So that was actually kind of interesting.
Like what kind of stuff? I haven't been fed this information.
Is it stuff about the sequels or about this one?
It's stuff that we actually.
Ahead then. I mean.
It was really. It really wasn't huge things. It was really stuff that during the games they more or less touched on, but didn't really broadcast it. And some of that is just due to the fact that it's a movie and you're not going to be able to fit in all the details. But there were a couple of things that stuck out to me, one of which is the fact that they really don't go into Katniss's home life all that much, like, at all. Apparently, you get the picture that her dad died and that, you know, that her dad died. You got that. But what you don't get is the reason the bread scene is significant is because apparently at the time that she got that bread, her and her sister were starving because her mom had basically gone into like a complete stupor after the dad died and was not feeding them.
Yeah.
So when he threw out that bread, it's implied that he purposely burnt the bread to give it to her. And apparently Peter's mom. PETA's mom has a habit of beating the crap out of him when he does stuff wrong. So he risks a like physical beating in order to purposely burn the bread to give it to her. There's just some stuff that's like slight significance. I was like, I would have thought they would have made more of a point of mentioning, even if it's just one throwaway line. You know, like I did notice that they do talk about it slightly in one line when the sister says bye and she's talking to her mom, says don't cry, I don't care how you feel, you can't do it like last time. Like that's literally all you get. That really doesn't give the impression that they were starving to death. And then and like, you know, it's just some stuff like that. The relationship between the quote unquote relationship between PETA and Katniss is explained a bit better in the book. To where it's in this one they breeze by it so fast that it almost feels like if you're not really paying attention that maybe it was just like a really weak romance, but in the book,
yeah, that's kind of like what I got. But at the same time, I'm figuring, you know, I'm sure this is explained a lot more in the book.
I mean, you're smart, you know that they're playing it up, but in the book it's strictly basically stated that they're really playing up the romance because the. As we thought when we were watching the movie the first time, how the sponsors seemed to didn't play in as much in the movie as they should have.
Yeah,
that's because they should have. In the book, they play in a lot more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they get a lot more drops and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's stuff they didn't have time for.
Yeah.
And those are just a couple of the things that stuck out in my mind. The importance of the medicine PETA. Apparently, when she finds him in the book, his leg is to the point where it's about ready to fall off.
Yeah.
Like it, you don't get that impression in the movie.
At the end of the first book, he does get his leg removed. He gets a fake leg.
Oh.
Yes.
I just now remember that.
Yeah. But, like, that was another point that they, for some reason, didn't stress enough. It's not just that he's sick. He's almost like just stereotypical sick. Like, you know it's the leg that's bothering him, but you don't get the impression that his leg's about ready to rot off. Mm-hmm. You know? And I guess there's no kind of, like... I mean, there's no kind of, like, vague triggering like she does in the movie where she just waits for him to fall asleep and then leaves. Apparently, in the book, she actually drugs him with sleeping pills that she gets from...
She gets a drop. Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's stuff that, you know, clearly they would have had more time for, you know, if they had, you know, ample time in a movie. Maybe they could have worked some of this stuff in if they had, like, maybe tightened some stuff up a bit. But, you know, like I said, I want to read the book now because now I know a lot more details. Mm-hmm. I might like the book more than I like the movie, but this movie, I don't know, for some reason the movie kind of fell flat for me.
So
I can't quite explain why.
I asked Louis this, and I'll do it again because there's a clarification I forgot to get. So the winner of the Hunger Games, they say, gets riches. Can you define that for us?
Every one of the districts has several, like, mansions, like large, comfortable houses set aside. And you get to live in the house there, and then you also get, like, you don't have to work the rest of your life.
So they don't live in the capital then?
No, they don't get to move to the capital.
Ah, okay.
So no one ever gets to leave their district?
No,
ever?
They have to stay in their district.
Well, because
but what about
be
that mentor guy who was... Who
well, I guess because he was a winner.
Yeah,
he ever did was he stayed in his house and drank all day.
Yeah.
Which, they get more into it in the second or third book, like, why it's so bad that he just drinks all the time.
Okay.
He won the Hunger Games.
And to sort of follow up, well, related to what you just said, how do you feel this didn't setting up 2 and 3? And are those stronger books than this one is? Do you think those will make better movies? Or
the second book really fell flat for me somehow. And then the third book was even better than the first book.
Okay.
The third book really gets into, like, it's a good story, but then it also gets into the... emotional trauma.
Not too much.
Okay, sorry.
But did they do any obvious foreshadowing that you saw in here?
Oh, yeah.
Well, clearly, yeah. I mean, like,
all the conversations with President Snow
and the other guy
had foreshadowing.
Yeah, that's kind of what you figure, especially since they added it. I think maybe they decided to do that because they had to hack so many big parts off the story during the games themselves to, like, streamline it, that maybe they felt like they needed some obvious foreshadowing to kind of make up for it. There was the opening and the conclusion, like the really fast epilogue that we kind of get, that's our falling action, like literally like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought that happened very quickly, and I was kind of at the end, I was like, oh.
It kind of felt similar.
Yeah, I like the music there when they're doing the montage, and they're, you know, killing off the games maker and all that, and then we get the weird pop song during the credits.
I totally called the berries in the bowl.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
Right before, though.
Well, they close them in a room, and I said there's going to be a bowl of berries.
There could be
anything in that room.
It felt similar to me the same way that Harry Potter
bouncy house.
Kind of felt.
A bouncy castle.
In the sense that, where it feels like things are moving by way too fast because they didn't have enough time to really flesh out stuff that was happening in between. It kind of had that air about it. Not during the games, necessarily. Although, the one thing I didn't like about during the games is apparently there's a lot more time passing than feels like there's passing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for instance... Just a couple other random stuff that popped up. The relationship between Katniss and Rue is a lot more extensive than, like, the 5 minutes of screen time we get.
That's, yeah, I kind of got that, like, that how that's how it would be in the book by her reaction to her.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Rue's death in the book, like, when I read it, like, I almost cried. Like, I teared up. I was like, holy shit.
Uh-huh.
She was under a net, but she didn't, like, as Katniss came around and found her, somebody was stabbing their spear through Rue as she came around and saw her getting killed.
But we can't see that.
But they can't.
We can't do that.
They can't.
It's PG-13. We can't do that.
I mean, they tweaked it a little bit.
We can see spurts of blood and her pulling an arrow out of her chest, but not someone stabbing her.
Actually, the Rue relationship kind of plays into another thing that I thought was kind of significant that they left out, which was how they dispose of the bodies.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's right.
I was like, when I first saw, like, when they went to the supply cache.
They dispose of them by people eating each other.
No, I hope not.
You never
I thought
see
that
it
those piles of dirt were like buried bodies.
No.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
And then
I
they
thought
exploded.
The evil people were evil and that they didn't like actually bury them. Oh, wait, never mind. They're bombs.
No, as soon as the other people have vacated the area, drop ships come and they like drop down hooks and they like pull them up.
They pull them up and they also
that's
take
what I figured.
It. They also take everything that's on their body at the time. The significance of her picking up the arrows at the time that she does is that if she didn't get them, they would have taken the bow and arrows with them.
Yeah. Yep.
Another thing that also plays into is that we don't get the we don't actually get a clear picture of just how powerful the capital is and how much technology they actually have at their disposal. We get kind of a vague idea because, I mean, obviously they've set up this dome that they're doing this game under. There's cameras everywhere. We clearly see that they have the ability to just create trees and stuff.
And create freakish animals out of nothing.
Yeah, they literally have the ability to manufacture and basically genetically alter anything they want and create anything they want.
Speaking of those creatures, in the book, I kind of noticed it because I was looking for it.
Uh-huh, I was too.
But in the books, the creatures that they create actually had the eyes.
The genetic makeup of the rest of the...
The dead tributes.
The dead tributes. So there's actually one that has
creepy.
Curly... There's actually one that has blonde hair, like...
That'd be creepy.
There's also one that has Rue's eyes, like, specifically. Also, there's supposed to be these, like, werewolfish things that can stand on their hind legs.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. They just look like these weird dog things that they just kind of threw them in.
Yeah.
But, like, the point is, like, with the tracker jacks and the medicine that works instantly...
Yeah.
Like, the point is, like, in the capital and, like, in, like, civilization, they have enough technology that they can pretty much make you invincible if they wanted to. Like, that's kind of, like, the point they were really trying to show
that line. I did
kind of
get that point, like, it's pretty much
that
the game can be fixed very easily.
Because they left out the drop ships... And a lot of that stuff, it really, really didn't hit home just how powerful the capital actually is. You know, you just kind of get this picture of them being these pompous assholes with a lot of money. And, like, that's it.
What was I again? Oh, man, there's one other bit I wanted to get to, but I forgot. So,
just kind of throwing it out there randomly. I thought it was very well cast.
Yeah.
All right.
I like Katniss.
Yeah.
I do remember it was interesting. The casting for her was particularly heated. It was down to two Academy Award nominees of that year.
Yeah.
It was her, and she got nominated for Best Actress that year, and Hailee Steinfeld, who got nominated for Best Supporting Actress that year, both of whom lost...
I know her?
Well, Steinfeld, the only movie she did was True Grit. She starred... She was the girl in that.
Yes.
And basically, she was the lead actress, but they put her in supporting because they figured there was no reason she would lose. And then out of nowhere, she...
I like that.
Then out of, because the lead actress was basically even way back, you know, like months before they did it. And they're like, okay, Natalie Portman's going to win this for Black Swan.
Yeah.
And she did.
That was
good. Yeah, yeah. So it was basically, you know, it was... Jennifer Lawrence was in Winter's Bone. She was nominated for lead actress. Lost to Natalie Portman. Hailee Steinfeld lost to some gal who was in The Fighter, who didn't do anything particularly good or interesting or memorable, and didn't carry the entire film like Hailee Steinfeld did.
Yeah, that's right.
And anyway, there's some talk about that because Hailee Steinfeld was the character's actual age, and Jennifer Lawrence is, like, our age.
Yeah.
But... then they don't have to work around child labor laws. So so they went with Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
Regardless, she
they did a good
it.
Enough
she
job of making her look young enough.
She did do
yeah.
A,
what is she supposed to be? 16.
16.
Okay.
Well, she looked like 18.
She looked like 18, but
whatever.
Yeah. Oh, oh, oh,
still
oh!
In that age range.
I remember the other thing I was gonna ask. About. So they mentioned something like, "So Gale, how many times is your name in?" Oh, it's like 42. And then later she's like, "Yeah, Prim, don't be proper and ask to get more food. It's not worth your name getting in."
Added, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking that the capital, like, rations, supplies, and food
yep.
and everything,
yeah. Yeah.
and the more that you ask for it, you get your name put in.
Yep.
But then, like, once you're 19, what's your downfall for asking for more food? Or do the kids determine the supply that the village gets? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, once you're 19, are you scot-free? I mean, well, obviously you're not scot-free.
Well, I don't know.
But.
I don't know enough.
But is it any supplies or just food? Can they get infinite amounts and just be the only chance for selection?
Yeah, because for District 1 or 2, if you volunteer, you're like, I'm just going to get as much food as I can. I'm going to put my name in 1,000 times because I'm already going to volunteer.
Well, in District 1 or 2, you probably don't need food because those are the good ones.
I don't remember, like, what the specifics of limits were. But basically, the first year you put in one, the second year you put in two, and so forth.
That's what I kind of figured, yeah.
And you can get extra for food or something.
You get more, like, oil to heat your house, and then food. That's basically what it is. It's food, oil.
Okay. All right. So anything else on the Hunger Games before Mirror Mirror?
I don't know. I touched on
Mira,
it.
Mira?
I just wanted to bring up the parts that... I have been looking for.
Is that really where the ending is in the book?
Yes. Right at the end of the book, basically, they're riding back
and
on
then
the
President
train.
Snow looks at a screen and walks away. The end.
Hold on, I mean, was there more of an epilogue?
What was the,
like
what was the, what was
the
tag you told me that you made up?
And then after the credits, Donald Sutherland shaves his beard. It's a significant character altering seed.
And entirely pointless. No, the
same. He's making the same face as Natalie Portman when she shaves her head in View for Vendetta. He's just like, oh, my poor beard.
You were saying.
Anyway, getting back from that tangent.
The ending of the book was like right at that spot, and it felt just as abrupt.
Okay.
But basically, they're going back on the train, and at the very end, like, it's kind of awkward because she's basically saying, you know, I kind of used you for the game, and he's like, you know, I really do love you.
Right.
But they have to go, like, on a tour through all of the districts, and they have to do a tour every year.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was a really awkward, abrupt ending.
So that's what number two is going to start them.
I don't love
them doing
yeah,
like,
but I love you. Oh, also, it happened that the ending of the games happens the same way in the book. So that's going to bug me regardless of the material. Although I think in the book it happens a little more like they're a little bit more pained when they're like, you both win. It's not like it is in the movie. I guess it's not exactly like it is in the movie where it's like literally, all right, okay, you can't both win. Fight to the death. Well, screw that. We're going to kill ourselves.
Oh, wait, never mind.
We changed your mind. You win.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
April Fools. Do we still do that in the dystopian future?
Made you look.
And then by the fuck out of me how easily that happened. No, wait. You win.
I think in the book, they actually got the berries into their mouth before they said stop.
Okay.
It's not like an instant thing. All right. Wow, these rule changes are coming fast.
Yeah.
I just love the.
I like how like this is the last. This is the only announcement we're gonna make.
Yeah.
They make two more.
I just love the arrogance of. Oh, by the way, we've changed our minds. Fight
I
to the death.
I kind of saw that one coming though.
Fight to the death. Do it. Oh, wait. No, we're gonna kill ourselves.
This time around, I did decide that I liked the first half way more than the games themselves. I like sort of seeing that future weird culture stuff and. Mm-hmm. Stanley Tucci just cracks me up with his blue hair and his giant fake teeth. And one of his like banner faces was just like creepy funny. Like he's got his mouth open like he's about to eat a head or something.
I did like the build up to the games though. I thought that was really well
done. That was for me.
Like I was like
yeah,
really
that world
like,
building was nice.
Yeah. It was the most fun part for me. And that actually had the most, like secondary characters coming in that actually did, like, pretty good stuff. Like, that was where we had Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
And I liked... His part's all too brief, but I really did like his part.
Yeah.
They're gonna shoot Hunger Games 2... What's the name of it?
Remember? I believe the second one is...
Catching Fire.
Is it Catching Fire or is it Mockingjay?
I thought Mockingjay was the last one, and then Catching Fire was the second one.
I can't remember. It's one of those two.
All right, so Hunger Games 2, Catching Fire, starts shooting August, September. I'm sure they're going to put the Hunger Games name on it like they did with Twilight.
They have to.
The
Hunger Games saga.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Because Lionsgate bought up the Twilight people.
You guys finally got to see...
But wait. They're shooting in August, September. It's going to come out in November 2013 right now, Hunger Games 2. Catching Fire, and there's going to be a new director because apparently the one who did this guy, who did Pleasantville and Seabiscuit, wanted a bit more money.
Really?
And Lionsgate is a little bit of a they're cheapskates and
they're Lionsgate.
Also, I think they wanted to do it in 3D, and he refused to do 3D for the other ones. Felt it was basically against the message of the book. Was like, if we do it in 3D, you would be like the Capitol people, like being that voyeuristic in 3D and stuff. Okay. So
anyway. We'll find somebody who will.
Yeah, basically. You want money and no 3D? No.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fine, I'll go kill myself. Oh, no, wait, come back.
All right, so
Mirror
directed by Tarsem Singh, who did last year's...
M-E-E-R.
No, M-I-R. It's Russian. Okay. Mirror, and it's about a bear.
What?
Mirror is the name of a Russian bear in a famous book.
I would have rather seen that movie.
So, it's directed by Tarsem Singh, who did last year's Immortals. Before that, he did The Cell, and he's got one other flick. It's Catching Fire. Anyway, he only has a couple movies. He's known for his distinctive style. This is a Snow White film starring Julia Roberts as the Evil Queen, Lily Allen as Snow White, the Winklevoss twins as Prince Charming, and...
Really? Those two different guys?
What?
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 Did you say twins?
What?
Have you seen The Social Network?
No.
Okay.
He played both twins, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. I was like, he played both twins. He is the Winklevoss twins.
All right.
Okay, so I was
confused. Social Network joke. Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Fell flag.
So, this is a comedy, and it's the first of two Snow White films, although there's a third direct-to-video right now from The Asylum called Grim Snow White. There's also Once Upon a Time on TV right now.
All dark, and this one wasn't exactly dark.
And Disney is working on a Snow White live-action movie with ninjas. Not a joke.
Oh my god.
What?
Not a joke.
Are the dwarves ninjas or something?
Yep.
And the seven ninjas. What we just watched?
Snow White and the Seven Ninjas. Okay, got it.
Or whatever. He also directed The Fall. That was pretty good.
Ninja Turtles.
That'd be
funny.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Snow White and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Dwarves.
All right, so what did everyone think of that movie that we saw?
Louis thought it was a different movie.
I totally thought I saw the preview for Snow White and the Huntsman or something like that, so I thought it was that one.
See, I wish we were watching that
one.
That's the one I thought it was.
Even though we saw the trailer that said Snow White and the Huntsman in front of the Hunger Games.
Okay, I was going to say, did they have that before how awesome would that have been if they had that trailer before... Mirror. This is what you could be watching.
but anyways, first thing I noticed was when we got shown Snow White, I was like, wait a second. It's is totally not the movie I thought it was. And look at those eyebrows.
Somebody, oh my god, those eyebrows. They were devouring her face.
I got used to them after like 20 minutes, and yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, she looks pretty nice.
You got your Cinderella and my Snow White.
We're really wondering when it was going to turn into the Snow White story. It didn't really do that until about
the
halfway
Snow White
through.
Kicking in.
It's like, wait, this is Cinderella? No, wait, this I'm confused.
Yeah, the evil step queen mother.
Yeah. Step queen
mother. I guess I'll start this time. Maybe.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're just off on a tangent now.
I did not like it. I
the
didn't.
Fuck you
you didn't like it?
The fuck you say?
No, I didn't think it was very funny. There were a couple of jokes that I chuckled at, nothing that was hilarious. The acting I thought was pretty off. I mean, Julia Roberts gave her full all, but the material wasn't up to that. So she was trying really hard in a bad movie. And part of it was the scale felt off. It felt like it was a TV movie.
Yeah.
Especially that forced set.
That was a soundstage.
That was
painfully
a soundstage. Oh my god.
I think they blew their budget.
In the forest. No, you're lost in the soundstage.
I think they blew their budget on Julia Roberts, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The thing, the budget is close to 100
and the
million.
The townspeople who all live in one square block.
Oh my god.
That's the entire population of the kingdom.
This thing costs close to 100 million.
Wow. Jesus. That's what you get for that much money?
Wow. That just doesn't seem right.
And for a guy known for his visuals, it wasn't very striking.
There was one aspect that seemed like vaguely familiar to like a stylistic thing, and that was when they brought in those puppets. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, it's
not super interesting.
Now, this is Lily Allen's acting debut. I guess there are two Lily Allens that are British. There's one that's a singer, which is not this one, even though there's a Bollywood number at the end.
Was that actually her?
I don't know. I couldn't find that on the internet yet.
Okay. I kind of figured
I started
it wasn't
Googled,
her
but didn't
she
search
up
too
on
hard.
Screen and it wasn't Lily Allen. So, I kind of figured.
So, she's pretty. She's all right. I mean, again, the material isn't great, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, that was...
She didn't really have good chemistry with the prince.
No.
So, again, I can't tell whether that's acting or writing or just both of their casting.
Yeah.
He's okay, but the writing is bad, so he comes off as arrogant the whole time. And, again, it's this fairy tale thing where they're supposed to fall in love at first sight, but because of the acting and the writing, it doesn't play.
Yes.
Julia Roberts is okay. I did like the puppet thing. The best acting was from Julia Roberts and those dwarves.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The only chemistry I saw on screen
was between the dwarves.
The dwarves honestly felt like a family of dwarves. And it was funny, because looking at all the ads, that I thought was going to be the most painful part.
Yeah.
Was when we got to the dwarves. And then I'm like, oh, wow, these guys
this
are actually
refreshing.
Likeable. What the fuck happened here? I don't know. That was my position. That was actually where the movie stopped being quite so tedious while I was watching it, was when we finally got to the dwarfs.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, the actual Snow White story.
Uh-huh.
The dwarfs are actually enjoyable.
It felt way too long, too. I mean, it was a little under 2 hours for this thing.
Yeah, that needed to be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It didn't need as much lead-in.
That intro was long as shit.
Although I did like it, I want to look it up because it reminded me of that bit in Deathly Hallows Part 1. I wonder if it's the same guy.
It might be, because that was what I instantly thought, too.
It wasn't the actual intro video itself. It was her narrating over the whole thing that I couldn't stand.
Yeah?
It took forever to get to the actual storyline.
It bugged me.
We're getting it. The evil queen, she's oppressive, and Snow White is...
And then we had the weird reveal in the end of the movie that she was narrating that in the end of the movie.
Yeah. Framing device
for no reason.
Stupid.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a framing device. It was just a weird thing. By the way, she was talking to herself and narrating that animated sequence here at the last 10 minutes.
And I didn't really get why the mirror, you get to go into it, and you go to this little island.
I kept waiting for them to explain why it's out in the middle of the water. I'm like, are we going to touch on this?
It's Atlantis.
Did you just do it because you wanted a cool effect?
Yes.
Why is this here? And it was funny, too. I looked over at Jeff. I was like, wow, that probably would have been really cool if that effect didn't look like shit.
Oh, it did. when it first, they first showed it and they pan the camera.
Big deer.
Oh.
Whoa, that is not a deer. What is that?
That was a deer.
Was it?
Yeah.
The face looked more like a...
It was a deer.
Cat.
That would be... The cat was as big as this car.
Like a mountain lion is what the face looked like to me. But that's because it was smashed in a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Louie, what do you think? We haven't heard from you
okay,
yet.
So, as soon as I saw the
Mountain Lion
of the
Madness,
movie, I thought it was. My expectations, like, dropped.
As soon as you saw that it wasn't Thor hunting down the blinky chick from Twilight,
it just instantly...
Thor, smash!
Went so low that I was basically like, okay, this is going to be some, like, terrible kids movie.
Yeah.
And then I kind of enjoyed it. Like, it wasn't anything special. Like, yeah. A couple months from now, I'm not even going to remember it. But it was like, you know what? It was kind of like one of those guilty pleasure movies.
Yeah, you're going to see
one of those movies you go into with a bunch of friends and kind of laugh and giggle because of how bad it is. Yeah.
You're going to see an ad for the DVD on TV in 3 months, and you're going to be like, wait, did I see that?
Did I really see that one?
No, did I see that? I don't know.
It was a lot more fun than I expected it to be, but that wasn't all due to the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god! The king at the end.
I feel so bad for Sean Bean.
That was great, though.
That
was
great, though. He's just standing there like, what has happened to my career?
I was expecting a cameo there, and I'm like, is it? Yes.
And then in the Bollywood number, they said something about winter passing over, and I about
winter
shit
is coming.
I saw shit myself all over again. Like, please tell me he laughed at the irony of that joke. Please. Oh my god. Yeah, that was like the best part of the movie. It just him showing up. I'm fairly positive that Thor would just own all of them.
Hey, that vampire Bella could suck his blood and then she'd be like a goddess or something.
Thor is a demigod.
Blade is just gonna come out of left field and just take Bella out and go, this bitch is done.
I refuse to refer to him by his actor name or by his character name in the new movie. He's just going to be Thor.
He's going to be Thor the rest of his life.
He probably is.
30 years from now, oh, look, it's Thor.
It's old man Thor tooling around on his Segway.
That'd be an amazing spinoff.
Can we get his
entire god race that just goes around on Segways?
American gods.
The one joke that did make me laugh, because like they were far and few between when I actually laughed at anything, like honestly laughed. They're telling the staff that Snow White died. And she tells him to speed it up, and he basically is like, well, you know, that's just kind of
she lives, she died, that's how it goes.
That's it.
Brunch is at 2.
There's a breakfast buffet at 2. There's like a lunch buffet at 2. It's like, okay, that was actually kind of like, honestly, funny the way that happened.
Oh, by the way, there's a lunch buffet at 2. Get to work.
He was one of the better parts of that movie, and even still, it just was God damn.
Turkey!
God damn. Just fuck that movie. If I was sitting in a theater by myself, I would have been miserable. So avoid that movie at all costs.
Other tangent.
I wanted to ask you. You had said that not all of the tiny people in the movie were actually tiny people. Or were they all?
I didn't say that. What I said was in the other Snow White movie, there are fuller height actors who are doubling as the dwarves. Like Ian McShane pops up as one of the dwarves.
Okay. See, I thought you were talking about this movie.
Blackbeard and Pirates 4.
Okay. That would have totally made sense to me.
And stuff like that. So I'm guessing they're just going to superimpose their heads over the dwarves or something.
Apparently,
or they could
just
do
like
the whole, like, Frodo Baggins thing.
Because we didn't really get... We got one shot of them in the Huntsman trailer, so we couldn't really examine that, but...
So apparently for this movie, it was just all hands on deck for the little people.
Yeah, I think so.
They pretty much grabbed just about everyone they could think of.
Yeah.
So, other tangent, since you said this was so excruciating.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever considered walking out on a movie? Has it ever been, in theaters or at home, just shutting something off?
I wanted to shut off that stupid movie you made us watch with the things in the room. Dear.
Which was called Things.
Yeah, the things. And it's called Things. I wanted to turn that off so badly. Yeah, it was so terrible. It wasn't even like you can laugh at this because it's bad. It's just so terribly bad.
You can be so proud that you've sat through the worst thing you're ever going to experience.
Yeah, you know, it is comforting that everything I see from now on will be better than what I saw when I watched Things.
Yeah, I can actually honestly say, I mean, you say a lot of times, like, that was the worst thing. I can honestly say that is probably still stands as the worst thing I've ever seen.
Worst.
That was bad.
Worst thing. Theatrical experience. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The worst theatrical thing, like, I've ever seen.
Yep.
That was bad.
Has there been a particularly bad movie in theaters?
Okay, there was one that if we hadn't have been sitting in the theater to watch it, you and me, I probably would have considered walking out, and that was Airbender.
Ah.
Never saw that in theaters.
Bad.
I watched that on a bus, and I'm like, oh, God.
Considering I walked to the edge a couple of times to, like, text and was, like, not paying attention to over half that movie, yeah, I was considering walking out. If we hadn't have been there together, I probably would have walked out of that movie. That was bad.
That's, like, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Well, Airbender?
Sorry. Hell no. I'm sorry. That's a bad one.
Louis, are you okay?
You've got to hold on to that longer for a fake out, man.
I'm sorry.
You got to learn to hold the joke.
Okay.
Get into little details. Like, I love that part with the dragon that was flying, and then it was terrible.
I loved that one part where the chick had penis hair.
What?
And my favorite part was where we were in the middle of an action scene, and they swoosh in, let's see what happens over here. All right, that was pretty cool. Whoa, what's going on over here?
Oh, and I loved the gripping dialogue, how they said, oh, and Aang and the princess got along really well, and Aang was learning all the water tricks, and then they go for months' time in 5 seconds of voiceover.
Wow. That sounded like a tongue twister at first, and I was like, what the hell is he saying?
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of in recent memory that I've ever considered walking out on.
Name for Jeff or Louie?
Nothing's coming to mind.
What was the one we saw? It was called, like, Priest? Was that?
Oh.
Priest was bad, but not so bad that I had to walk out.
We were the only ones there.
We were the only ones in the theater. Yeah. It was so much fun.
I was like, this is pretty bad. But I kept expecting it to, like, kind of have a redeeming quality, and then it never happened.
Nope.
There's nothing redeeming about that movie.
That was just bad. That was one of those movies that was only good because it was just all of us in the theater.
Because, I mean, like, it has to be a certain level of bad. Because, I mean, like, Conan was bad, but I wasn't ready to walk out on that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like that's what I mean by, like, that the Airbender was on a whole new level. Like, I hated, like, almost every second of that movie. From, like, its pointless fucking... Why so many close-ups? Why are we looking at half this person's face?
Dramatic.
Is it necessary?
Yes. It's very necessary.
Like, they're talking, and it's, like, extreme close-up. Why am I this close to their face?
Because it's 3D.
I have absolutely no idea what's going on or where they're at right now.
Wasn't that the guy from Slumdog Millionaire?
Yep. He was one of the bad guys.
Okay, that's what I thought.
All right, so that's what we really thought. We have a Facebook page, the WOW Sea Group. There's a website, the WOW Sea Group. The web address for that is wowseegroup.blogspot.com. That's WAWASEE Group. .blogspot.com. Make sure to write the brr brr. That's key.
Thank you. How do you spell brr brr?
Hit your brr key.
I'll leave that up to the philosophers.
Hit your brr key.
What?
Thanks for listening.
Good night.